it's Mike, the host of the longest running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth by a guy named Mike Matthews in the land of Ameritopica, broadcasting from Podcastro Valley, the last place on Earth. We are broadcasting from Cafe Anyway, and it is called Mike's Daily Podcast, FFF, episode 3199. I'm going to mention in just a moment how I'm recording this on video, but just ignore me because I'm not. But I did have a cat on my lap the entire show as I was putting it together. I predict this is going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. Because that's all about to happen as after I am saying what I'm saying to you now. An interesting little preface. Because I wanted to tell you about this movie that if you were alive in the early O's at the beginning of this century, you will recall there was a movie called Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. I think it was called that. With Jude Law. And it had Gwyneth Paltrow in it. And Angelina Jolie was in it for about 2 seconds. She spent 3 days filming it. What was interesting about this movie, oh, and a bunch of British actors that if you ever watched Doctor Who, Game of Thrones, any of that stuff, British stuff, you would have seen these actors at some point. But what I was fascinated by was how so much of what it was filmed in front of, basically the whole thing was filmed in front of green screens. And then the CGI animation was done behind them. And this is early 21st century type CGI, which, you know, we were doing some amazing computer generated images in the 90s. And then all of a sudden the O's come around, the beginning of the millennium and the end of the millennium. And people are just advancing every year by miles and miles and miles, how much the sharper quality, the intricate images, how things flow. But still, no matter how good they get it, there's still that uncanny valley where you're watching it going, nah, that doesn't look real. Well, Sky Captain wasn't meant to look real because it was so groundbreaking. It was so ahead of its time. And it was also trying to do this artistic thing. Kind of like, what was that movie that featured Bruce Willis with it was all black and white and very violent and Jessica Alba was in it. That kind of thing was what it was happening in, but this is before that. And it wasn't as violent. Had these clunky robots. There was these big blimps and dirigibles that kind of looked like World War II, but with advanced technology like laser guns. And I watched a thing reviewing Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. And it just occurred to me how every single Marvel or DC Comics or Star Wars movie looks just like that, only better. But still this whole acting in front of a green screen, which causes actors not to be able to react as well as they would if they were actually standing in the room with these immense objects. They've tried to do things to make it so that they can act a little bit better against not just a green screen, but something else there. You had in the, I guess around that same time, was the Lord of the Rings movies. And certainly Peter Jackson did a great job with doing a lot of practical effects mixed in with these computer generated effects. The one thing that just occurs to me when briefly mentioning Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin was the guy behind Game of Thrones. And then he got together with the late Robert Redford and created this show called Dark Winds, which is on AMC, American Movie Channel, which of course brought us things like that zombie show and the Mad Men and all that. But this Dark Winds is fascinating. It takes place somewhere in the 70s on a Native American reservation, and there's a murder and there's some supernatural stuff going on. And we watched the first 2 seasons, and now they've got the 3rd season on Netflix. And we're watching it. There's Robert Redford and George R.R. Martin sitting there in a jail cell doing a quick cameo. They're playing a chess game. And of course, the chess game has knights, you have your knight figuring the pawns, and you have the kings and the rooks and all that. That's all very Game of Thrones-ish, so it's funny that they pick that as their cameo to use as their cameo. What they're in jail for, we don't know. What their characters' names are, we don't know. We just see them and immediately know, oh yeah, they threw themselves into this because they helped create the show. And it might have been the last thing that Robert Redford ever filmed is what I was thinking about, and how that might have been the last moving images we had of him on the big screen, which is actually the little screen as you're watching it there, even though it's on the American Movie Channel. And we're going to talk about movies in a little bit as well, as this has not happened yet, and me not videoing any of this because I forgot to press start on the videoing recording thing. That's why I don't do video stuff. It's a podcast. Podcasts shouldn't have anything to do with video. You know what? One other thing to just complain about, and I'm sure this appeals to any age, is the high prices when trying to get something to eat when you're eating out at a restaurant or anywhere these days. Coffee, burgers, burritos, they're getting pricier. I spent about $12 on a very simple burrito last night, a chili verde burrito in Berkeley, where things might be slightly cheaper for the students there, food-wise, slightly maybe, but I didn't order any sour cream with it, guacamole, or cheese. And what was interesting was there were some students sitting at a table that when they got up, I noticed that they had left so much food on the table. There was a half-eaten burrito. I'm thinking, aren't you starving? Don't you want to take that home with you? Don't you know the prices are so huge? They didn't know anything, apparently, that there are high prices. They weren't aware of that. They didn't know anything about that. But it is true that inflammation, how about just, well, inflation causes inflammation in my brain, but inflation remains the top pain point for restaurants, and they're passing the costs onto you and me, the diners. If you think your burger, burrito, or cold brew already cost too much, brace yourself, because restaurant groups say they would have to raise prices by 30% just to stay profitable amid rising costs. Nearly half of restaurant operators said they plan to increase menu prices if inflation, tariffs, and labor costs continue to climb. To maintain a modest 5% profit margin, the average restaurant needs to raise prices by a little over 30%. Grocery stores have sharply increased their prices in recent months. If a burger that previously cost $12 in the restaurant, now it's going to cost at least $15, maybe $16. A $10 burrito is going to rise up to over $12. So goodbye, $11 burrito that I had the other day with no frills on it. This must not even register with the students today, with the young people, if they're just leaving burritos and all kinds of food on the table. And in the olden times, Henry VIII, you know, he had a massive feast, and apparently he liked to eat alone, and servants would bring him a bunch of food, and he would eat a little bit of it because he wanted to keep his girlish figure. That's a joke about from the, what was it? The keep my girlish figure. It was some kind of beer commercial back in the 80s. But, you know, he wanted to stay slim. So he would give the food to the people that were waiting outside, that some kind of thing, that alms and all of that. And he would give the food to them. And there is a saying that we came up with. They called it the dole. And that's the food that he would give to them was called dole. And so what they say when you say, I'm on the dole, that's what it's referring to, is that, you know, you're still going through a tough time. You're on the dole. Okay. and coffee jumping up from $4.75 up to at least $5.20. Expect consumers to trade down toward quick service, limited menus, bundled deals, and promotions as this continues. As we continue this show by going into Cafe Anyway. Let me get the door for you. Badoo, badoo. Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
3,199. It is episode 3,199. I am Mike Matthews. I have Rocky the Cat on my lap.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
How awesome is that? How much better can it be when that is how it is? You are going to tell me about the work you do, your biz. What's it all about? Let me know. You can call me at this number that doesn't have an O. Well, actually, it does. The area code is 510-228-4640.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
510-228-4640. I say the number very quickly because it's also at my website,
Mike'sDailyPodcast.com.
So just so you know, you can call me there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here at Cafe Anyway, we are broadcasting live somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Ameritopica. And some interesting topicas that this year, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this could be the best year for movies. Not ever, but certainly since the pre-pandemic years. Another pretty solid weekend happened at the box. I don't know this weekend, but if you go back to the beginning or about middle of October, they had a really good weekend at the box office. 2025 could become the biggest box office year of the post-pandemic era. Sequel-packed slate of movies, lots of sequels, Wicked, Zootopia. They were in the theater, in the theaters this month. And then there's Avatar, Fire and Ash. That comes out the week before Christmas. Then Hollywood should break through the $9 billion barrier, first time since 2019. Huge hits earlier in the year, like the Minecraft movie one, or is it a Minecraft movie with Jack Black, made by the guy who did Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't realize that.
And here's today's podcast picture.
Jack Black was in the next movie. Is it Jared Hess that did that? The next movie he did was Nacho Libre, and it featured Jack Black. So they worked together. That grossed about $957 million worldwide. Oh, wait. Actually, round that up. $958. The podcast picture is of Rocky the Cat, who's sitting on my lap at the moment. You can see the video to this podcast, which is extremely boring, but you can go to Mike'sDailyPodcast.com. to see that, but the podcast picture is there as well. The late great Basil the Boxer would have been, wait, Mike, you've got a cat now? What's that about? Although I asked Rocky today point blank if he wants a dog. He's already got a cat. He's got Patches the cat who comes by. Patches the feral cat who's adopted us, but he still leaves regularly. Rocky stays in. He's got allergies. Where are we? Oh, Lilo and Stitch. Wasn't that the live action version that pulled in? Oh, almost $138 million worldwide. And then there was Weapons. Very bizarre looking guide. I'm not going to watch that. I find out how movies
Mike
are.
Mike Matthews going to come in with more encouragement for you.
Thank you. This is my encouragement for you. If you don't want to go see these movies, because most of them are awful, here's what you do. You watch honest trailers. The humor is a little bit on the blue side, as we used to say. But, you know, it gets the point across as to what these movies are, like Weapons and Sinners. They both captured moviegoers' attention with the horror and all that stuff. The horror. Of course, if you adjust for inflation, considering ticket prices are 20 to 25% higher than they were in 2019, more reasons for me not to go to the movie theater. The big picture figures don't look so dazzling if you figure that in. I got that from Rob Black. I produce his podcast. He's heard on AM 1220 KDOW. Ah! That's a wonderful station that'll make you shout and almost yodel. That is on, he's on Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And he's on Kron TV Monday through Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. But yeah, I hate going to movies now. I don't go, I haven't spent any money on a movie in decades, I think it is now. And I understand when you're younger, movies are cool and you go with your friends. And that's what we did a lot of in the 80s. And I saw a lot of really awful movies in the 80s. Terrible. Oh my gosh. You know, we think back to the 80s like they were some halcyon days, but dang, the movies in the 80s weren't the best. You look.
Oh, you almost had it.
What I'm trying to tell you, if you look back at some of these, go back and look, you'll go, yeah, mm-hmm, that didn't age well. Those words will come out of your mouth more than once. That didn't age well. How did they get away with that back then? You'd be the other thing you ask. So people ask me here at Cafe Anyway, Mike, you know, you're at a cafe and all those people are talking behind you. Does that bother you at all? No, I love it. I love it. I love the fact that they're all talking and just doing their own thing. That's life, isn't it? Everybody's doing their own thing. You know, Jeff Goldblum once said to keep your eyes on your own paper. I think what he meant by that was that's why he's so odd in the way he is.
I just saw on the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
Jeff Goldblum's not leaving acting, is he? But, you know, he's definitely carved out a persona that he then just plays in every single movie. Then there's Taylor Swift. Okay, so that Life of a Showgirl made history by selling 4 million copies in its first week. That included album sales and streaming activities. That is the biggest first week in modern music history. You just lived right through it, folks. That's amazing. I started my career in radio.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
Back when you could weaponize pronouns and nobody knew what a pronoun was. But that was, I was back then playing music, thought, okay, the Michael Jackson singles that were huge and still get played a lot on 80s radios. We go outside a cafe anyway where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast. Somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Ameritopica. That's where we're broadcasting from. Cafe Anyway. Your songs from Madonna, Whitney Houston, Prince still get played often. But they didn't sell 4 million copies in their first week. And Taylor Swift was the first one to do that.
Anyway.
Cafe Anyway. She has two new projects at Disney Plus. A 6-episode behind-the-scenes docu-series about her landmark Eras Tour titled Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, The End of an Era. Okay. I guess that's two different. Is that two different ones? Oh, there's 6 episodes? Okay. But she's got two projects. All right. That's all the brain power I want to put into that story. I will tell you that I did watch her Americana Girl thing, that documentary that came out about 3 years ago, and found that interesting. I don't need to see any more docuseries or docudramas or mentories or whatever. I'm not going to be rudimentary. I'm just going to leave it and say, hey, I need to calm down. Half of Gen Z chooses resale items over new stuff. More than half of Gen Z consumers, and 44% of their slightly older generational friends, millennials, choose secondhand products over new ones most of the time. That certainly was me when I was their age. The total U.S. resale market, maybe we call it e-commerce, will reach an estimated $64 billion, a little over $64 billion this year.
This is the HAL 9000.
Oh, HAL
You are listening to Mike's Daily Podcast.
Pal, let me finish
coming
this
to you from Cafe Anyway.
Let me finish
in
this
Podcastro Valley.
Let me finish this story, Hal.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Please.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Let me finish this story, Hal.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
But Hal. Hal, let me finish the story.
Mike.
Just finish it.
Mike.
I just have a couple more words.
Mike.
One word? That's it? Okay, a little over $64 billion in 2025. $92 billion in 2 years, according to research in markets for the resale market. Fascinating. So I love that. I hate the fact that people throw stuff away. Once upon a time, and I'm talking to you folks that are in your late 60s, okay? Boomers, okay? Okay, and that's a boomer thing. It's to say the word okay after stuff. If you're a millennial, you say right. But what I'm saying as a Gen Xer is we threw too much stuff out. We threw entirely too much stuff out. We clogged up those landfills. We threw out stuff that was recyclable. We threw stuff in the recycle bin that was not recyclable. We are consumers.
You can use your debit if it's easier. Don't worry, I will cross my eyes so I can't see your secret code.
We go to Target, buy all kinds of stuff, then throw it in the trash. It's ridiculous how we don't repurpose stuff. Now, in the past 20 years, there's been a focus on it. It's been going on for a while, but really getting into it to get stuff repurposed. And I'm glad that there's a store. And I'd never seen anything like this until I moved to the Bay Area in Oakland. It's called The Restore. So there's this thing of just, hey. Now, in the Bay Area, too, people just throw stuff on the sidewalk in front of their house and get some tape, put it on a piece of paper that says, free! I want to just go through and collect all those free signs and make a art...
Who doesn't like cash cows?
...thing out of it. Art... Exhibit.
How do you do that?
Exhibition?
I just said the word cash cow.
And maybe include a cash cow in there. And finally, ChargePoint is going to debut the 10-minute, 250-mile electric vehicle charging station next year. The company has powered over 9 billion electric miles to date and has plans for expansion. So you'll be able to charge, make a charge of up to 250 miles for your car. It'll only take 10 minutes. Just, hey, I'll take that time to go into Target. Actually, the Target in Fremont has a bunch of charging stations. It used to that were from Tesla, but I haven't checked that lately.
There's a Spanish holiday tradition called El Gordo, the fat one.
Let's hear it for the fat one. Hey, look who's here.
Hello, Mike Matthews. It's Jolene Shuhart, gift shop supervisor. How dare you, Mike Matthews?
No. It's just a holiday that they celebrate. And was it Spain? Because she was speaking Spanish there for a moment. I wasn't talking about you.
Mike Matthews, I have these wonderful snow globes just in time for Christmas, which is coming up really, really soon, Mike Matthews.
Shelley Shuhart and her exploding snow globes. Wow, you know, it is so amazing how just when, as soon as Halloween...
It was kind of scary.
It was kind of scary, Halloween... As soon as that was over, bam, it was on with the Christmas lights everywhere in Podcast Revolt. Well, Niles, where I like to go near Fremont, technically in Fremont, they had all their Christmas stuff up. I found some places near my street have beautiful Christmas lights up. I'm tempted to put mine up. And there was somebody that I was watching that runs a big thing somewhere, some big thing, and said, yeah, as soon as Halloween's over with, we go right to Christmas, the Christmas stuff up. And that I
need some turntables, Mike, if you're gonna say it like that.
Right, Christmas stuff up, Christmas stuff up, Christmas stuff up, turntables. No, I mean, it's just, yeah. Now, if they go before Halloween, that gets annoying. But you know what I want to do. I want to make Halloween a new holiday, call it Valloween. So it just goes straight from Halloween to Valentine's Day. We don't even have to worry about all this, commercialization of Christmas stuff. We just jump straight to Valentine's Day, which is also already a commercialized holiday. We just go straight to that. And that's my plan. Valoween! I know I had to sing it one more time. Great song from Steve Winwood. Call on me, Valoween! Now we're done. Oh, wait. Except for this.
I can't make this up!
Oh, Mike, this is Floyd the Floor Man!
And this is John Deere the Engineer. Yes, Mike, you like to talk about that strange holiday that you made up that doesn't exist, kind of like Festivus.
Yeah, we're not even to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is what word I was wanting. And yes, we're already talking about Christmas. So, but I think to a lot of people, they've just molded Thanksgiving to Christmas. In fact, I will be posting some Christmas-related pictures since over the weekend in Castro Valley, we had the Castro Valley Parade of Lights, where there are a lot of floats that have a Christmas holiday-themed, Christmas light type thing, Santa's workshop type thing going on. So that is just, we're just used to that in Podcastro Valley, is what I'm saying. But what do you think about all of that?
Right.
You can give me a call if you're a millennial that says right a lot, or if you're a boomer that says okay after everything. Okay. We can just whatever find out together by calling this number.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, they're on the camera, on the video, if you can catch it, mikesdailypodcast.com. Got Rocky the Cat on camera, on the lens. Lens is looking at him, thus filming him onto Twitch. But there's a link there at mikesdailypodcast.com. But you got to watch this while the show is still fresh. If you try and find it 2 weeks from now, you won't find it. So there you go. And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you for listening to Mike's Daily Podcast.
That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.